welcome all you folks. We are all here. In fact, Nina has returned after
Thank
being
you.
Gone for a bit.
Very much.
Lance is on vacation, and Battalion Chief Bond is...
Able replacement. Yeah,
it's nice to have you here. I'm more than able replacement.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. So adoption of consent items 3, 4, 5, and 6, and they are approval of the minutes, excuse me, acceptance of incident report from July, and 5 is from August, approval of the monthly voucher transmittal.
I move the adoption of our consent calendar consisting of items 3 through 6.
Okay, in favor?
Second.
Okay, in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposing? It passes. Next, item 2 is oral communications, and it's reserved for comments and inquiries from citizens and board members that for matters not otherwise on the agenda. Anybody in the audience?
I had a brief comment I wanted to make, Don, if that's okay.
Okay, we'll let her do her thing. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
I was going to leave you until last.
Oh,
but it's okay.
Go ahead.
No, it's fine. It really doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to report that Lance and Brenda and I and Rochelle Sherris Watt took a tour of Oakland's Fire Safe Garden there in Oakland, just before you get to the tunnel. And it was extraordinarily educational, and they were really cooperative and are going to be very helpful when we put our demonstration garden in
just
here. So I think we made huge progress as a result of the tour. We were very pleased.
Okay. Is there land that's been designated here in the park?
No, but Rochelle gave us 3 different parcels that she's
so
thinking about.
On that.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're working on where they identify the garden. Yeah.
Good.
The
Good.
Garden location. So we are making progress on that, and it was a very productive visit.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
Okay,
go ahead, Carl.
Mr. President, your memo me giving you a note in July asking about getting the fixed assets.
Assets?
Yes. Can you pass it on to staff?
Fixed assets?
Yeah.
We give it to you.
Did you answer that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the first email I got gave me a definition of fixed assets. And I said, I like to know what they are. And
I answered that.
What? Yeah. Pardon me?
And I answered that second
okay.
email.
Okay. You told me it's 2 fire engines and some other stuff that's not part of the building.
Well, uh-huh.
Pardon me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but that's not helping me. I like to see the fixed asset sheet and the depreciation schedule. I know what fixed assets are, but I want to know what our fixed assets are, including a depreciation sheet.
You see the depreciation schedule monthly as part of our packet.
It's not in this one, though.
It's not in this one?
It's fine. I can answer it. Carl and I exchanged a couple emails, and he told me he was satisfied with my answers at the time. So
I would be willing to pay whatever the cost is, but I would like to have all fixed asset with the depreciation schedule.
Okay.
So the fixed assets are those things you'd normally see, right?
Yeah, well, the depreciation schedule I'm talking about is the idea that our engines last 15 years. Mm. So as part of our financials monthly, we show what we're setting aside in a reserve fund for the replacement
so
of each of those engines. We set aside 1/15th of the cost of an engine indexed by inflation.
No,
so that in effect is a depreciation schedule.
Yeah. And what are the other fixed assets to the building, right?
And no. We don't depreciate that.
No, it's I don't know what it is, but it's probably 2 fire engines and a whole lot of other stuff.
What would be the whole lot of other stuff?
I don't know what it is. I would assume everything we own except the building.
What's the total of fixed assets, Brenda? I don't have it here either. I suspect that over 95% of it is the 2 engines, but
correct.
We can take a look and see if there's anything else.
Okay. I also listed the other biggest items, which were like Comaltro tools, Hurst tools, things like that.
Yeah, it's the outfitting.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that's on the engines.
That's
the firefighting equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that would be expense, right? That, that wouldn't be depreciated.
That's all, well, it's all, we replace stuff when we get the engine. We, you know, the cost of the engine is the engine fully outfitted. You might tell her, Larry, that the, she's looking for the fly fisherman and can't find him.
Okay,
that lady
so
who's walking around the back of the building.
You could argue that those repairs we made could be depreciated.
I missed what you said.
I said you could argue that there was the building itself is probably depreciated, but you could argue that those
that replacement those schedule would take care of it as well. Yeah, that's they're both in a, all they're all three schedules in effect are depreciation schedules because they show the deterioration of the asset.
It seems to me that everything that's not expense ought to be the fixed asset.
Well, if it's depreciated, if it's just an, if it's a piece of equipment, you just buy it, and that's an expense.
Well, it'd be expensive, but if you have an expensive piece of equipment,
okay, Brenda's.
I can provide him with a fixed asset schedule, so that's fine.
Well, yeah, okay. It's going to be pretty short, so we'll do that.
Whatever it is. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Brenda, could you send a copy of that what you sent him to the board as well, please?
Sure.
This question, and it's been covered in a prior meeting that I missed, I apologize. Around town, I've seen a number of houses have got Thank You Kensington firefighter signs, which mm-hmm. I think are very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, is that an endeavor or a private individual? Or?
Me. I paid for them, and then Nina made a contribution.
Private.
It's all my private money.
I mean, it was,
had
yes,
nothing
but it
to
was
do
private,
with the district.
It wasn't
private
important.
Citizens.
What I was getting to ask is, are they still available? I gather they've all been.
Oh, yeah.
We bought 50 of them. And actually got demand more than twice that.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to do it again next year. And next year we'll probably charge everybody like 10 bucks a sign or something. Because I paid for them all out of pocket.
They're
and then Nina said, you shouldn't have to pay for all of them. So Nina gave me some money. So I think probably next year we'll charge the people who want one maybe 10 bucks and that'll cover the cost of the sign.
Yeah,
but they were so popular this year that way more than we thought. We thought, oh, wow, I wonder if we can place 50 of them. And then when people saw them, you know, we wanted them all to go up that same morning.
Sure.
And when people saw them, everybody wanted one.
I didn't even get one.
No, you didn't. But you don't live on a notorious thoroughfare. We, unless you paid for them, Larry.
Yeah.
Like me. You didn't get one unless you were on a big thoroughfare so that we'd get more publicity.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was a nice gesture.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, if you'd like one next year,
so
I'll just
okay.
add you to the yeah. list.
Oh, okay.
Next year, I'll go on my cold.
He's making
that's
a comment.
Okay.
We're not
that's
taking
I don't think anybody's going to complain
okay.
about paying $10 for them. And the firefighters were thrilled with them.
Okay.
And they not only got, you know, the people who didn't put up the signs, a lot of people sent them emails, which we printed out so that each of the shifts could see them, or they brought treats by
yeah.
for them. So it was a huge yeah. success, and we just stumbled on it's National Firefighters Day. Who knew? You know, and it worked out great. It pleased them, and it pleased all the participants, I think. But anyway, I did
okay.
not mean to slight you. There are a lot of people who wanted a sign and didn't get one. Yeah, and we
yeah.
just thought 50 would be a lot.
Okay.
But it is not a board action. Just want to
yeah.
say that
okay.
again.
Yeah.
It's not.
Okay. I'm moving on.
Yes.
Sierra.
First off, Janice, I'm glad to make a contribution to the sign.
Cool.
Because they're just so
yeah.
fabulous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of people still have theirs up because they
I
like
do.
Them. Yeah, I have
yes,
mine
I
up
do.
Still. Yeah.
Okay, in other news, Diablo Fire Safe Council has funded massive work on the trail. This will mean something to you, Michael. The area north of the Chase Stairs, that has all been worked on. It's been widened all the way to Kensington Hilltop, enough so that a Graham Tree Company truck and chipper could come in Saturday to work on the massive pine.
The big
tree,
is this
going to
go away?
Michael. No, it's not going away, but it's been
shaken
way up.
Wow.
Because there were all these dead branches that were like down to the ground. Five properties have been cleared of juniper. Additionally,
the grant properties, or were they all grant properties or no?
This is another thing. This is another chunk of change for Diablo Fire Safe.
Oh, wow.
Five more Juniper properties have been cleared.
Good for you.
So as far as putting little planting sections throughout Kensington showing, you know, what can be done as fire safe gardening.
We're going to talk about that on the budget.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I've been working in the brush all day long.
So
now I would like to go home, but wish you a lovely, yes, sir.
Okay, so what would be an average amount for these this removal per parcel?
What are you talking about?
To remove the junipers.
Oh, yeah. In other words, we're going to fund some of that. So we...
We don't fund that Diablo Fire Safe. Well, we're talking about funding the replanting.
For example, the project on Cambridge, what did that cost? That was three
the other's not
homes.
That's right. Okay.
That cost under $1,700. About
$1,700. Very, very reasonable.
Yeah. I was surprised at how
I misunderstood what she was doing. I thought we were going to make a contribution to this, but she's trying to help on the replanting side.
No, because that's in competition with Diablo Fire Safe. We were thinking, Ciara, about 250 per parcel, just because we're really pushed for money coming up with the public safety building. And so it's more of a gesture this time.
That's a huge thing. So the properties where Juniper most recently have been cleared include John Sullivan's house at the corner of Yale, 319 Yale, 133 Ardmore, 205 Purdue, 501 Beloit.
Oh, they're everywhere.
Yes,
that's great. That's wonderful.
That
yeah,
Cheryl
I do too.
Liked the idea that because then they would be in different places. And I have to tell you that Linda Spath was really fabulous. Yes, you
Linda Spath.
Linda Spath was really fabulous about getting information out to her neighbors.
Can we sign the properties that have been...
Yes, we can work on all
Can we put a little sign on them or...
Yes,
or,
we'll work on all these magical things.
So that everybody can see that we're making progress on what's happening if we put a little sign there?
Yes.
And maybe... I'm sorry, Linnea's not here. I think she's on vacation maybe. But maybe we could get her to cover that. Wonderful work.
I don't want to take too much time, but... So there's good news from the elves.
Yippee.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Thanks,
bye.
Ciara.
Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you
Anybody
so much.
Anybody else would like to make a comment?
Yeah. I would just like to acknowledge my wife's work line. I know, but she wrote all the letters. And
good for you.
And them to all the residents.
On Purdue.
Okay,
good for you. That's wonderful.
That's
thank you.
That's a massive.
She wants me to do it, too, so maybe I should come and talk to you. She's given me a set of parcels that she'd like me to approach, so I might ask you how you've done that successfully.
Yeah. Okay. I want to copy the letter, too.
Yeah,
I'd like to know, too. I have neighbors that have said no, but...
Would you like me to email my...
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, maybe.
Good. Any
That's
other
great.
Comments?
Yes. I've written up this, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just so that you... Can you refer to it?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Sure. Are you Chief Maples?
No, I'm Michael Bond, the Fire Marshal.
Oh.
In place of Chief Maples today.
Hmm. Okay. I'm Leonard Schwartzberg, and I'm a member of CERT. And this is Hal Probosky, who's also a member of CERT. He's the coordinator for CERT. And we were... CERT K6, that's from the Arlington down, has been given a shed along with a couple of other groups by the fire department to store the cache of equipment and materials they're going to give us, which is worth about $2,000. After casting about to where we're going to put the shed, we're going to even
rely on that shed because we're having a hard time finding a place to put it. We were considering another place, and that turned out to be too problematic. So we've managed to negotiate with Narcy David, who's going to allow us to place the shed in back of his place on the circle. And when I have spoken with Larry, because the shed is kind of flimsy, it's very flimsy, and we didn't want to put $2,000 plus the other stuff that we're donating to the cache in there because we're afraid to be stolen. So we need to beef it up, and we calculated it would cost about $650 to lay the foundation and to beef it up really strongly and to put some shelving in it. And Battalion Chief Larry Carr wanted to view the site where we were going to place it, and he did that with Hal just earlier this week. When was it, Hal? Was it Monday? Or
something like that.
Hal mentioned to him that we needed the money to get that started. And we think it's really important to create a concrete presence for CERT. We've been meeting for a long time, and we have a lot of people who are interested, and we've been making lists, and we've been doing various things to try and get ourselves organized, but we have not yet become response ready, so that when there is a crisis, we're activated, we go, we can do the work. And I think that this concrete presence of CERT will help us to concretize our organization. We think it's very important from that point of view. So when Hal was showing Chief Carr the site, he mentioned that we need that money, and Chief Carr, on his own initiative, went to Chief Maples, and they've come up with some money for us to do a lot of that. But we have a lot of other needs. For example, radios. Communications are very, very important because of the terrain. We talk about having runners, but since...
We've put ham radios throughout the community. So we've already paid for that, and they're located throughout the community.
Oh, do we have radios?
Yeah.
I think Katie can speak to that.
This is using the system that Berkeley uses, which is to use FRS radio services, walkie-talkies, communicate inside an area. Because we're not going to be able to use runners very easily.
Well, we have ham radio operators.
Carol Echo is on the board behind you. We met here Monday night.
Yeah.
We have the main station, which will be the net control for us, radio out of Kensington, is at the fire station. And it will be manned by one of us, or woman.
Staff, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's our local Office of Emergency Services.
Yeah, let me suggest...
The radio is right there, and right. The third one is at Hilltop. So.
Yeah, let me suggest one thing to you, Leonard. I'm very supportive of your concerns. We've already got four of those sheds located, and I want to make sure they're working also. But we're not expert in this, and generally it's the job of the board to set policy and then staff to implement. So what I'd like to do is have you talk to Chief Maples and also Carr and Gibson and have them make a funding request to us. We couldn't act on this tonight if we wanted to because of the Brown Act, but we're really not going to do anything until our staff makes a recommendation to us. Okay. Well, but I can assure you we are fully supportive of making sure those sheds are properly sited and secure and properly funded. And if we need more in the way of walkie-talkies rather than radios.
Or any other equipment.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be happy to hear about it. So you're, in a funny way, you're preaching to the choir. I think it's not just me. I think you have the whole board's support on this issue. We just don't know how much it costs or what the chief is going to recommend to us.
I wasn't coming to ask for a specific amount or anything like that. I was coming to sort of let you know where we're at.
That's great.
What we're trying to do, and to hope to get it on the agenda for next time. Perhaps by then we can get you the specific information, and then you could act on it.
Yeah, and work with Lance and his staff to come up with recommendations and price it. And, you know, we're adopting our final budget tonight, but we always have a contingency fund that we put in there. So, you know, I'm kind of nervous about putting a line item in our budget tonight when I don't have a clue what that number's going to be. But I can assure you, I think our contingency is about $30,000, and I think what you're talking about is going to be well under that. And we can always amend our budget anyway.
Okay. So, ask for money tonight.
Yeah. It would be hard for us to do. Yeah.
So one thing that concerns me a bit, you said you have a shack, but it's not very substantial. Is it a plastic?
It's Rubbermaid. It's a box opener now.
Yeah, we've.
But we figured out. We spent a fair amount of time and made numerous trips up to Home Depot. We've got a list of everything we need to. I call it armor it or theft.
To make it safer.
And, you know, the pickups that pull the ATMs out of bank walls. We've taken that a little bit into account because that would be the easy way to get the equipment out. So we're going to anchor it in a way that we think it will be very resistant.
And I'll have
to work so hard to get into it, it's going to be worth it.
We're going to line it with plywood on the inside.
Okay. We're going to do a lot of things.
Plywood on the inside.
Honest
is
what you're trying.
That's a good idea.
Keep an honest person honest.
Yeah. So is it?
This person has to work so hard.
How big is this shed?
It's 7x7x8.
Okay. Okay.
But it's a good shed. We've got it planned out. We think it'll, and others have received it already, and we're trying to go and see what they've done.
We are finding out that we may need liability insurance.
Let me go into that later.
Okay.
We just wanted to come and get these issues. We've never
surfaced
before.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
To say we need to get on the agenda in the right way.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Okay.
His concern is.
So if you go back through the chief, then and then provide, you know, the detail that you think you need to.
Think the homeowner's insurance policy won't cover this?
Let me go through my list now. I have five quick questions, and we need to know who to talk to. That's what this is about. We've understood that if we're doing certain related activities, like using the heavy cutting equipment we're going to be using to work on the steel for the shed, if we get somebody gets injured or disabled, they'll be covered by workman's compensation. That was told to us at some session. Is that?
I don't know if that's true or not.
Hopefully nobody here knows
sound
that.
Right, but yeah.
So every business, you know, has to buy workman's comp insurance.
No. We're covered under El Cerrito's workers' comp.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, then that would.
Okay, we're not asking. Okay, we don't want you to try to answer. You just want to say these are the five questions we want to know.
Okay,
who you're telling us to talk to.
That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. The guys that are fighting fires will do that, but hopefully there's a lawyer somewhere. Secondly, the coverage during disaster relief. If, again, we injure someone or we damage property during our
as a CERT person,
as a member of CERT.
Yeah.
As a member of CERT, we're covered. We just wanted to check on that. And then now we signed a form that says we accept ownership of this material that you generously provided to us. And we'd like to know, are there some, and what you said is this is all you're getting, you're not getting any more. By the way, you own this and here's the things you have to do with it. We understand that, but
We make you guys owners so that it's covered under your homeowner's policy. I think that's probably the theory why. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, getting the answers here. Okay, but do we have some form of liability for that? For example, if it gets stolen or gets destroyed, are we responsible?
Oh, are we going to sue you because you didn't take good care of our shed and its contents?
No, it's their shed.
7,000 people here. Somebody will do it. Okay.
It's your shed. Yeah.
So we just want to come and talk to somebody who can answer all these questions.
Sure.
Okay.
And if it isn't you guys, that's fine with us.
So,
well, and, you know, anything that our fire chief can't answer for you, we'll have Brenda refer over to our lawyer so that you guys get an answer. You shouldn't, I mean, volunteers in the community shouldn't worry about stuff like this and shouldn't be at risk. I'm very sympathetic with you.
Well, we just want to know what the answer is. And lastly, property owner. We're not on a homeowner's property. We're on a commercial property down at the circle where our incident command post will be. And he's asked us to give him a release of liability, which is quite understandable.
Yeah.
And also a 90-day notice of removal if he decides to sell the property he wants the shed moved. And we're willing to
those are fair,
that,
yeah.
But we need to know how do we do that exactly?
I think probably Lance signs it. But anyway, we have a lawyer who can answer a good many of your questions.
Is that an El Cerrito lawyer?
No, it's a lawyer. It's Myers Nave.
El Cerrito City.
Yeah, no, it's Myers Nave is our attorney. And so if you give us that sheet of paper, or more particularly give it to Lance, anything Lance can't answer, he'll hand over to Brenda, and we'll just send an email to our attorney asking those very same questions so that you don't have to worry.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing.
It
is somewhat confusing since El Cerrito is kind of the sponsor of this.
So. Well, they're not because it's our money they're spending. So we have to budget.
If they're offering insurance liability.
Well,
why don't we stop this at this point?
Yeah,
you guys go, ask the questions.
If I could add on to what he's saying about the radios and that type of stuff, when you bring your request to the fire chief, if you would please have a detailed list of the items that you want, the cost for those items. And it would probably go a long ways if you were to talk with other area coordinators to make sure that what you're getting isn't going to be something that's a standalone item that's not going to work with the other area coordinators.
We're already doing that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just have that all in place. That way the research is all done and he can even understand it.
Tim Kochi has those radios in his shed in Area 2, and you've got Tim's email. Right?
Yeah.
You're going to talk to Tim at some point.
I've talked to him. He's going to get back to me.
Yeah.
Apparently, El Cerrito 1 has them. Everybody has their own there. They've already supplied themselves. So
they cost $40 a piece, so a lot of people have just gone and bought them.
It's not a agenda.
I'm going to wrap this. We're going to stop now. Okay. It's not on the agenda. We're really not trying to discuss it. So I think that. You just have to go ahead and work through Lance, or whoever Lance wants to look at this. We may or may not be involved in liability issues. It sounds like that might be another source, but you have to figure that out.
And I'd like to have a few more minutes of your time to share something with you. I'm not going to ask you for anything. Let me give you these. These are forms that I've created. Address the psychological and emotional problems that people have after a
disaster. This is your
area of expertise, Dr. Schmidt.
Yeah, that is my expertise.
Right. Oh, great.
And,
okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll give you one too. Dave has one because he was at the first training.
Thank you.
And so this is, unfortunately, FEMA's protocol. For this kind of thing is fairly superficial. And we're trying to deepen it, and Dave Gibson was very supportive about this because not only do people in the community suffer these kinds of traumas, the first responders suffer terribly.
Oh, absolutely.
Terribly.
Absolutely.
In Oklahoma City, the first responders were just terribly traumatized with all those children. And the mental health workers were called in from around the area to help them. And they suffered secondary trauma.
Yeah,
and so from out here, the EMDR Institute sent out people to treat the first responders and to teach them the techniques for treating the first responders and the others. So this is an effort that we're doing in Area 6, and my home is going to be a center for people who need the help. And this instrument is it kills three birds with one stone. It helps us to triage, it helps us to diagnose, and it helps us to treat. So it's really a marriage of two well-known instruments. The first, the list of symptoms is from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of the American Psychiatric Association. Mm, okay. But I've put it into language that regular people can understand.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
I've tried to do that.
Okay.
And then I married that to what's called the Subjective Units of Distress Scale. And that enables us to get a sense of just how traumatized an individual is along these variables. So we're hoping to make this available not only to Area 6, because it just doesn't exist otherwise, but to the whole community.
Everybody. Great.
Right.
And so I just wanted to
thank you.
Bring
did they do a thing like this after September 11th? They must have, but I don't know.
I think we learned a lot from
FEMA
September
doesn't
11.
Have doesn't the FEMA, the CERT program, which is mm-hmm. by FEMA.
Yeah.
I mean, I took it, and the psychological component is mm-hmm. really quite shallow.
Wow. Oh, I think so this is a great beginning.
I hope you're going to bring this to the CERT coordinators meeting next week. Are you?
I don't know about it because I'm not one of the Hal's one of the coordinators, but I'm glad to come.
Yeah,
good.
That's great.
Good.
And it's copyrighted just so that people can't take it and use it to make money with it. But it,
we won't. Like, we promise.
No. It says for nonprofits you can duplicate it and use it.
Okay. You know, you don't have anything thank like you. That on here. You want it before
it's on the
you
front, it's on the front, top. Front.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Oh,
okay.
Way at the top. All right.
But okay. Oh, and there's your seat
thank
up there.
You.
Okay, great. Okay.
We look forward to seeing you.
You're a lawyer, and you missed that.
I don't have my glasses on, Larry, and it's a teeny tiny C2016. It's usually at the bottom where they put that stuff, not at the top.
Okay. Good. On to the next thing, Fire Chief's report.
Good evening, I'm Michael Bond. I'm in lieu of the Fire Chief. He sends his regards. He's out of the area this evening. I'm going to start off with this fire season. It's been quite an active fire season. It began very early, and it looks like it's going to continue for quite some time. To date, we've been involved with several fires, with strike teams being sent to the Sherpa fire from 617 to 621, and then the Erskine fire in June as well, the Pine fire, Sobrani's fire in late July, the Clayton fire, the Blue Cut fire, Chimney fire, Sobrani's fire. We have a fellow that was reassigned there for an incident management team, where he's part of the management team developing the communications and stuff. He is still assigned there today, and he's scheduled to be released tomorrow to come back for his 2 weeks off.
Yeah. How many firefighters have we had at these incidents? Do you have a rough idea, Michael?
Well, for each one of these, we've had at least four.
Wow.
Four firefighters at a time there, because that's what is required on the OAS engine that we send. Plus, we've had sometimes single resources, where we've had a strike team leader or a strike team leader trainee out on the fire, as well as those four.
Yeah.
And then maybe an incident management member. So we've had as many as seven people out on a fire at a time.
Wow.
And you know what? The folks that aren't able to go and respond and stuff, they stepped up and backfilled and made it work very efficiently.
So all with the existing staff?
Yes.
Okay.
They've gone way above and beyond.
That's great.
So Captain James is at the Sprawny's fire right now. He's looking to be, like you said, released tomorrow. Or excuse me, Tommy Wade as firefighter, paramedic. Tommy Wade is on the Sprawny's fire. And I don't know if you've heard or watched the news here a few days back. They had that water tender that rolled off the cliff and went down 400 feet into the ravine. Mm-hmm. Tommy Wade's role is a fire line medic.
Oh, wow.
And so he was coupled up with a rescue team, and they actually rappelled over the side to go down and help with the rescue operations of the firefighters that were injured in this rollover accident. Mm-hmm. So.
Wow.
Been a vital role in the safety and the well-being of the firefighters out there on the scene. And then Captain Kevin James was just deployed this week for another 2 weeks on the Sobrani's fire, part of the incident management team. So it's been a pretty active fire season. We've been very supportive of the different incidents around, and will continue to be as long as there's a need and our folks are able to make a commitment.
Well, we're very proud of you, and we pray for their continued safety. It's been a very stressful time.
Been a very, very stressful time, yeah. Other news is firefighter recruitment. You know, we've been in the process of recruiting and looking to hire and fill some of the vacancies we've had. And we've hired a fellow by the name of Adam Birdsell and Mason Campbell. And Adam was from the Rodeo Hercules Fire Department. And they're in a hard way right now and looking to probably be laying off. And we were able to pick him up and bring him in. He's a great fit with the, sure. with the organization.
Great. He's great. I invited the engine company to our Labor Day barbecue, and Adam was one of them. He's fabulous. We had a great time with him.
He's a great fit, yes. And Mason was a paramedic on AMR with firefighting experience as well, so he brings a lot of valuable paramedicine skills to the Hill here. And, I mean, that's something that's, beyond reproach for sure. So I think we've done real good in picking up and filling the voids with our vacancies, and got some good folks that are looking forward to being part of the team.
Beautiful. That's great.
So that's what I've got.
Thank you.
Nice report.
Okay, I don't have too much. I have to find my piece of paper here. So if you remember last meeting, a gentleman came and told us about the Fire Boards and Commissioners Association and how they were looking, trying to get us to participate. Uh-huh. And I looked for a web, and they didn't have a web. And I called, and I got this little simple description of them. And so I guess I'm just... I think I'm sort of not clear whether it's worth us to do, but if someone is interested.
I already sent my check
in.
I thought you might.
But I would love to have some company, so.
I might.
Okay. I may go. I'll check my calendar, Larry, and then let's talk.
Just curious about what they do and what kind of.
I think it's going to be, I think it's a good idea for us to, talk with other district.
Yeah. I agree. You always learn something. Yeah.
Find out what problems are.
Okay, well, that's good. I wasn't quite sure.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll let you know.
Okay, that's great.
If I go.
So, Brenda?
If it turns out to be a complete bust,
we can pay for those dinners.
Tell it then.
Yeah, okay. So, we can pay for those dinners, right?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay, on to new business. We have two, I'm going to ask the battalion chief to talk about this for a second, but we have two resolutions. I have to go back and get the description. Resolution 1607, confirming the report of cost of abatement of public nuisance conditions, etc., for 240 Lake Drive, Kensington. That is part of that. Resolution 16-08, adopting a fine. Oh, no, that's not.
The budget.
That's not. Okay,
it's
that's not.
It's just 1607.
So, I'm sorry. That's my fault. So, do you want to talk about where we are with this property?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to give praise to Captain Chris Renshaw, the fire prevention officer.
Yes, he's done a wonderful job.
Has been out in the hills here, not just inspecting the properties and finding the properties that are non-compliant, but spending hours upon hours outreach to the citizens to try to explain to the citizens what the violations are, how to remedy those situations. And in some cases, he's actually found grant money for these citizens to remedy the properties and stuff that have been identified as a public nuisance and a fire hazard.
CR has been very helpful with that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And CR and the Diablo Fire Safe Council. So kudos to Captain Chris Renshaw for the outreach that he's done. And during his inspections began early or mid-June or May, he identified 69 properties here in Kensington that were in violation and not up to standards with vegetation management standards.
So I was just going to add, in case you're not aware of this, this action is undertaken under state legislature of the bait.
The Bates bill?
The Bates bill, where we have the authority to encourage people to clean up, you know, fire hazards. And if they don't, then we can go ahead and have the work done and lien their property. So out of the anyway, that's kind of the umbrella that we act under.
So the 69 properties that were identified as public nuisance, Renshaw, Captain Renshaw, in his efforts and his outreach, has managed to convince all but one of those 69 properties to voluntarily abate the nuisances on their properties.
That's a heck of a record.
That is amazing, outstanding. Yeah. Yes, it's yeah, above and beyond, and it's no easy task by all means. So is what happened is in May we went out and identified these properties. We brought the list of properties here to the fire board, identified them, and had the board declare them a public nuisance and a fire hazard and order the abatement of said properties. And between that time in July and August 19th, the property owners had time to mitigate their own violations and hazards. And again, with the nurturing and coaching of Captain Renshaw. And then on August 19th, the one property, 240 Lake, unfortunately had to be abated by the Kensington Fire Protection Board. We're here tonight to approve the cost of abatement for that property. So what has happened is the cost of the abatement for the contractor, Oakland Hills Brush Cutting, is a contractor that came out and did the work. And the cost of the actual work was $265. Not much. I mean, it's something that could be done in a few hours. But it's our understanding and all the outreach we've done that this is an abandoned property that nobody lives there.
Oh, wow. So that's one of my classmates.
One of the things that we do, though, is we also bill for the time that Captain Renshaw is out in the field doing the inspections, verifying property lines, preparing for the board meetings and having declared a nuisance, going out to the county, having the liens placed on the properties. All of this stuff takes time. As a result, the administrative fees for this is $916.75 with a total abatement bill of $1,181.75 that we're asking you to approve for 240 Lake.
Okay, I move the enactment of resolution 16-07, confirming the report of the cost of the abatement of a public nuisance located at 240 Lake Drive.
I second that motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None? Carried.
And please convey our kudos to Captain Renshaw. I mean, this is one of the only years that we've had to actually do an abatement.
Right.
Generally, you guys are able to persuade everybody. So
done a few.
Well done. Well done that we have so few involuntary abatements. It's kind of sad we have to do that, and the cost is.
If we'd have paid for a ticket to Evanston, Illinois, so I could go talk to this Mrs. Worcester, you probably would have got that one abated as well.
Maybe. But, you know, a job well done by Captain Renshaw.
Okay.
And you all know that he drives by every house, right? He looks at every one of our homes.
Any comments from the audience?
Oh, yeah, you guys, I don't know. He inspects each of us individually first.
Yeah.
And probably
we're the first on the list.
I did not know that.
Because if we're going to abate anybody else, he checks out the board members first.
Yeah.
And there's one other policy, you guys, I don't know about. If you turn in your neighbors, he checks on you before he
really?
Checks on your neighbor. Correct. If you want to turn somebody else in, you better be clear yourself. Yeah.
Okay. Now she's got you scared. Okay.
That should be an article.
Well, you know, can I elaborate on that?
It's a disincentive.
Well, but that's only fair, I think. Yeah.
What do you call about the good neighbor policy?
Yeah.
Or else.
Like Janice says, every property in Kensington and El Cerrito is inspected visually by the fire prevention officer. That's a drive-by inspection. We cannot go on to private property to view the nuisances that may be in the backyard or things like that unless we've been invited onto that property to take a look from a vantage point that is not available from a public way. So
you can invite us into your yard to look over the fence at your neighbors, but we can't go into your yard to see it without an invitation, and we can't go into the offender's yard without an invitation.
And you can see into our yards at the same time.
Correct.
Yes.
But we're assuming that your yards are something that is not a risk because you're concerned about your neighbor's property being a risk.
Okay.
Yep. So if you have a risk that you feel, by all means, give us a call. We'd be more than happy to take a look at it.
And we have before gone into people's houses and gone into their yards to take a look at what's happening next door. And we're happy to do that. But yep. The reason we examine you as well as your neighbor is to make sure we don't get in the middle of some neighbor dispute.
Okay.
Okay.
Ready for the next?
Yep, ready for the budget.
Resolution 1608, adopting the final combined budget for revenue, operating expenditures, capital improvement expenditures.
Yeah, we actually look at our budget three or four times a year. We enact it in June. And so this looks very familiar to board members because we looked at essentially this document in June. And then under state law, we're required to formalize. That's the preliminary adoption of the budget. Under state law, we're required to make the final adoption of the budget in September. Now, we also look at this very same budget two other times during the year. One, the Finance Committee has a public meeting where we prepare this budget and receive input from members of the public in May of each year. And then we have a mid-year budget review at our February meeting, board meeting. And what we do is do a mid-year review to see whether or not we're on target with our projections and whether or not we need to make any amendments. So we're gonna go through this relatively quickly, basically because we do it so many times every year. And I recognize that some of you haven't attended 1, 2, 3, or 4 of those meetings, but a good number of us have. So what I do want to do is just kind of highlight for you the general overall picture and then suggest one amendment that follows up on what Ciara and I were discussing earlier tonight in the public comment. If you look at the budget and if you look at column 3 of the budget, you'll see that we're projecting revenue of almost $3.9 million next year. And then if you look at page 2, you'll see that our total operating expense is about $3.2 million. So we're anticipating about a $700,000 surplus next year, which we will then carry over into the building fund, is our projection, so that we'll be able to make well more than a 20% down payment on any indebtedness we have to incur to do the public safety building. We still don't know those numbers yet. In all likelihood, Don is going to be reporting back to us in October or November, maybe with some projections, but we know it's a big number. We don't know quite the magnitude of what that number is. And what we're going to do is just carry this year's surplus over to that to facilitate the building of the public safety building or the renovation of the existing public safety building. I don't think we've even decided yet which it's going to be. Now, this budget is very, very similar to what you saw in June and what my colleagues adopted in June. One item I talked to Brenda about is, do we need to leave that $1,000 election number in there because we didn't have any opponents to our three board members who were up for election this year. So their names are not going to appear on the ballot. Nonetheless, the county bills us not the full $1,000, somewhat less than that. for gearing up for the election. So we're going to leave that $1,000 number in, but it's likely we're going to spend significantly less than that on the election, and we're not quite sure exactly what the amount was, and it wasn't a big amount to start with. So we're leaving that
in. So
if
there's no...
opponent, we still get a small bill from the county.
Because they still have to put...
Yeah, they're not printing as much as, you know, because they don't have to put our candidates' names on the ballot or whatever.
Yeah.
But they still had to, you know, like accept filings from our incumbents and stuff like that. So it's a modest charge. It's not as big as if an election was actually held. So it's going to be significantly less than 1,000, but we don't know the exact number. So that's, we're leaving that in as a space holder. Now, earlier... Sierra talked to us at our last meeting, which was in July, about the Juniper project, the clearing of fire hazards throughout the community. And Juniper tends to be the number one hazard because of its volatility. And so she's been very instrumental in working with the Diablo Fire Safe Council in getting grants for individual homeowners so that they can clear that fire hazard. And those grants are up to $5,000, but sometimes that doesn't leave the homeowner with very much left to do any landscaping after they've removed the hazard. So Sierra talked to us in June about would we be willing to make some kind of a contribution to the individual homeowners who have helped not only themselves but also their neighbors in the whole community by making their own parcel more fire safe. And so what I would propose tonight is that we interject in under community service activities a $3,000 number, which is not a significant number, but this is, after all, a trial project. And I would propose up to $250 per homeowner who has cleared their property of a fire hazard and then submitted receipts to... our staff so that we can verify that they're putting in fire safe plantings,
okay.
Not replacing with maybe worse stuff. You know, it's not an outright 250 grant. We would verify what you're buying and that it is in fact fire safe. And then let's just see how this works. If we find this is very successful, we may be able to find more money in our budget next year. I didn't want to put in a big number when I don't know how big that number is going to be on the public safety building. So it's kind of a start. It's $3,000, and it would take care of 12 different parcels, potentially, if each of them applied for the full $250 worth of fire safe landscaping. So I would propose that as the one amendment I'm proposing tonight to the budget that you see in your packet. And with that amendment to our budget, I would then propose the enactment of Resolution 16-08, adopting the as just indicated amended final combined budget for revenue, operating expenditures, and capital improvements for fiscal year 2016-2017. And I'm happy to take any questions. I'm not trying to chill discussion.
Okay.
It's just that we've seen most of this before.
Mm-hmm. I have two questions. Why are we not budgeting miscellaneous income? It's the fourth largest income line item we have, and we don't budget anything.
We generally don't get miscellaneous income. The $42,000 we got this year was an anomaly, and if it were an annual significant item, we would in fact budget.
What
I'm trying to remember what that was. It's a lawsuit settlement that we got a portion of.
$39,000 of it was.
Yeah, $39,000 of it is a lawsuit settlement. So I don't think it's ever been any bigger than $2,000 or $3,000. It was a windfall.
Okay.
This year.
My second question is. On the water system improvements,
correct.
How did we go from a budget of 185 to 91 to 20 and then possibly 20? What happened there?
Well, we completed the last of our staged water system improvements. So where were we?
And half the price that we had budgeted.
It wasn't speed, it was EB Mud, right?
Yeah. Yeah, East Bay Mud has, the last two phases, East Bay Mud has agreed to make contributions towards the cost. They pay 20% of the cost. You're always going to see a water system improvement line item because we like to give the fire chief discretion to put in two hydrants in between meetings without getting authorization from the board. And that's just, like if East Bay Mud has to open the street because there's flooding or something somewhere, Lance has enough money right here in the budget to slot in two hydrants if in his discretion it would be appropriate to do so. So we always leave 20,000 in because it rarely costs more than 10 for a hydrant when the street's already open. So it's unlikely you're going to see that number get any smaller. And sometimes he doesn't deem it appropriate to put in a hydrant, but it facilitates his discretion if they open up the street on an emergency basis in between our meetings.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
On East Bay Mud, have you completed then all the firefall improvement piping?
Everything that we have scheduled, that we had scheduled before. I don't know the last time, before we started the water system improvements, which was many years ago, I'm thinking maybe 17, 18 years, we did a whole study of what kind of water pressure we were getting out of every single hydrant in the community. I don't believe we've done that recently, essentially because of the drought.
We've been asked not to do that by East Bay Mud.
Yeah, East Bay Mud asked us not to do it because it would send a lot of water running down the streets, which is horrendous. People see it and they wonder what's going on. So we've been waiting for a non-drought year to do the water hydrant testing. And then that'll tell us for sure whether everything we did worked as we hoped and whether we need to do anything else. But we've got the significant work done because we had a lot of dead ends and we connected up dead ends so that we get better flow there. And we've replaced most of the pipes when we replace pipes, we replace bigger pipes. And we have an ordinance that anytime East Bay Mud puts a pipe in Kensington, they've got to put big guys in now, even if they're replacing small pipes.
The bulk so that of the we work was all flow. on the ridge. The bulk of the work was basically on the top of the hill.
In terms of pipes, but the hydrant spacing is throughout the community.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I understand, you're sort of over-designing, which is fine from the standpoint of meeting fire flow conditions that the state requires as a minimum.
It's not even just the state's minimum. What we did is figure out how much water pressure can we get to service three engines on the ridge for 20 minutes? Because if we can't stop it in 20 minutes, you're not stopping it.
You've over-designed, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was supposed to do, to stop the fire coming out of the canyon. And then the hydrant spacing is good for the rest of the community as well.
So it looks like you've done pretty much all the work you need to do.
Well, we're not going to know for sure until we do the hydrant testing, and we can't do that until the drought is over. You know, we haven't been sitting on our hands on that. We've been waiting.
we do have every reason to believe that we've got adequate fire flow throughout the town now.
One would think that given the sizing that you've done.
Yeah. I mean, there may be a bad surprise somewhere there, but we've certainly done what our engineers thought and what East Bay Mud recommended.
I mean, when we started this project, there were several hydrants that were good for about 85 gallons a minute, and now every hydrant in town is good for at least 1,000 gallons a minute.
Right. Well, 85 wouldn't have cut it.
85 is a large garden hose.
Yeah. It's a huge improvement, and it's one reason the insurance rating agencies have raised the rating of Kensington, so that essentially every dime we spent on water system improvements, the homeowners have gotten back with cheaper premiums on their homeowners insurance. So it worked out well financially for everybody, and certainly for the safety of the community is considerably enhanced with that.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, moving on.
I don't think we've taken a vote. I think I made the motion.
No, I don't think you did, but I'll move that we pass Resolution 16-01 adopting the budget for the fiscal year 2016-2017.
As amended. I'll second.
Okay, the vote. Aye.
Aye.
Yep. Measure passes. I thought we actually had done that. Okay. Mm-mm.
No, we haven't. I don't.
All right.
We still nodded our heads.
Yeah. board reports. Finance committee. I guess you've done some of that already.
Yeah, we've pretty well done that. And there's just one note on the blue sheet there under the finance committee. So that we're required under state law to have an annual audit. And our staff, Brenda and our accountant, meet with the auditor to make sure that they have all the information they need. And that's happening right now as we speak.
Yeah, they just wrapped up this afternoon.
Oh, good. Oh, they're done. Yippee. Yeah, yippee. Oh, great.
Okay.
And so you'll be seeing a copy of that audit report.
Usually until January.
Yeah, it takes about January for them to see it. Because they're going to go over it, and then our finance committee gets a chance to go over it to make any questions or comments. We have had a completely clean audit for 20 years now. No suggestions from the auditor. And periodically what we do is ask for sample audit reports from other special districts so that we can be sure that our auditor is the one we want. And we did that a couple years ago. We're very happy with our auditor in the sense that they happen to prepare a very user-friendly audit so that we think members of the public can actually follow and understand our audit better than most. It's really written where it's as user-friendly as financials are ever going to be for lay people. So I don't foresee that we're going to make an immediate change in the auditor. We're very happy with the presentation. And if you've got any feedback on what you think of the audit report, we'd be happy to hear it. Because that was our deliberate reason for picking this one company.
Okay. Public safety building. Joe and myself, do you want to...
I'll let you
okay.
Just to work.
So this is the feasibility study that we started in the spring. We hired an architectural firm that we're very happy with. They've been working since... What, sometime in June?
June.
And we are, this planning and accessibility study includes the community service district as well. And at this point, we've completed the assessments, you know, working with the staff of both agencies, developing programmatic kind of room areas and so forth. And we're moving now into some diagrams, looking how we can apply that program to the existing building or site if we were to tear the building down. And that's going to kind of go on for the next 2 months, probably. We're not going to make a public presentation until after the election, which seems like the smart thing to do. But that's where we are.
Doesn't sound like you have much to report before the election anyway. It's going to take
no,
a couple
it's just
of months
sort of,
for you guys
it's,
to
you know,
get
it's,
there.
It's,
yeah.
It's going to be looking at the program against what we can afford, what can we get out of the site and the, you
and
know,
what
the existing
fits,
site,
yeah.
what
yeah.
fits. You know, and we're already looking at some of the financial stuff as you know,
yeah.
in terms of capacity.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we're doing that. And we don't know what the buildings will cost yet, which is that someone asks me every time.
That's a $64,000 question that everybody wants to know the answer
yeah,
to.
They
yeah.
don't have the answer yet.
Oh, if it were that, yeah.
Okay, education, Janice?
You saw, and probably each of you got a copy in the mail of the fire plug. Kudos to to you and Lance. Nice job. Job well done. In terms of education, we're going to be holding an open house on October 15th at the fire station. And we always view that as an educational opportunity, especially for the young people in the community. So we hope you mark your calendars for October 15th. And then while you have your calendars out, I'll tell you about two other dates. That you might want to know. One is the shredding event that we have in the parking lot right below us, between 10 and 2, where we shred all the material that you want shredded, and it happens right before your eyes so that you don't have to worry about the confidentiality of the material that you're asking to have shredded. And that's going to be on October 29th. And then we do our pharmaceutical drop-off, where we take all the unused prescription medicine and dispose of it, and because the police department now cooperates with us so that we have a licensed peace officer there, we can even take narcotics, and that will be on October 22nd. So we're going to announce those dates in the Outlook. They'll be on the signboard. They're on our website. But there, I hope you will put them in your calendar. It's 3 Saturdays in a row.
What time?
October 15, 22, and 29.
Do you have times for those?
The drug drop-off and the shredding are generally from 10 to 2. And I'm not sure what time you scheduled
them. 10 to 2 also.
Yeah.
10 to 2?
Yeah, pretty sure.
The shredding was on the 29th.
Yes. The shredding is on the 29th, the drug drop-off on the 22nd, and the open house on the 15th.
Yes, Larry,
10 to 2. October.
And Tri-City
All
Safety
Day. All in October.
As well.
And then we have Tri-City Safety Day. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. You're exactly right, Joe. Tri-City Safety Day is coming up this Saturday, down at the El Cerrito Plaza. And it's really a great event. I don't know if you've been there, but all the local fire departments participate, and they've got the jaws of life, and you get to see a lot of different stuff. So it's a good event.
So it's
and
in the
you know that we'll pay for the sandwiches again. We always pay for the sandwiches as our contribution.
Thank you very much.
So yeah. We're happy to do that again.
And that's in the parking lot then.
Yes. It's in the parking lot right in front of CBS.
Lucky's, yeah. All
right. And Lucky's, yeah.
Okay. Done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Contra Costa County, California Special District Association, Larry?
Yes, the next meeting is a week from this coming Monday, and I will be there, and could always use some company.
Oh, that's what day is that, Larry?
A week from next Monday.
26th, I think,
yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's correct.
And what time is that?
They're bringing it forward a half an hour, so instead of being at 10, it's now at 9:30, but the meeting is still at 10. 9:30 is like
a social meet and greet.
Social half hour.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Do we have anything from the Consolidation Dissolution Committee?
Well,
I think Nina's going to report.
I haven't
Don,
seen it.
Don, there was. There,
oh, I'm sorry.
One thing
go ahead.
That you wrote down. I think I don't know if you wanted me to comment on or you wanted to comment it, but the CSDA is looking for committee members.
You know, is that in the packet?
It's in the packet. And
okay.
I think it's like the last page, maybe.
The last page.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyone who's so taken, I would encourage them to. The CSDA always needs extra help on the committees, and they're a good thing.
You want to do that?
So, huh?
Do you want to do that?
You know, I am a little overcommitted at this point. I would like to do that, but I think I'd rather be with the county. Special mm-hmm. District Association.
Because you're on our legislative committee, aren't you?
I'm on
legislative
the
legislative committee.
No, I'm on the scholarship committee. Yeah.
Okay. Back to Nina.
Yes. Well, Don informed me I've been appointed. I was happy to be appointed. We talked about it. To this ad hoc committee. I didn't realize you'd named it the Consolidation whatever committee.
I don't know who called it that.
That's a nice title. Yeah, whoever named it that, that's fine.
Brenda
did. Okay, so we understand the committee did some work without me, which is fine. But we reached out to the subcommittee of the ad hoc committee that focuses on the merger. And so on the 8th, Thursday, we met with Chris Deppe and Gail and
Mr. Artis, and I thought they might be here tonight, but they're not. I thought it was a very interesting meeting, certainly. It was informal. I want to share that with you. It was informal. We took no notes. It wasn't recorded. It was exactly what we intended to be, just an exchange of information to see where our positions were, see if we wanted to go forward even. I would call it a working meeting. So for those of you that have worked in the outside world, I think you kind of know what I mean. You go in and you sort of see where the meeting takes you. We had questions, some of which were answered. They had questions, I think some of which we could answer. It was, in some ways, we came away agreeing to disagree, but I don't, that might be too strong. We're both listening. Both groups are listening. There were some very specific things we took a look at, primarily the pro column of the ad hoc committee's draft, which I think will be presented tomorrow night to the board. And there are some things in there that we believe, Janice and I believe, need some fleshing out, that we had some facts we could provide, that we would have liked to have seen different things, and so there was a lot of debate about whether that should happen. There was some, I think Gail admitted that maybe she wanted to take another look at this. There were some things in there that some of our information helped her see, and Rick as well. So I don't know where we're going from there. We didn't set another meeting. I think at some point in the future, Janice and I will prepare a report, maybe some recommendations to the board, to our board, and maybe something we'll be presenting to you
so
on the topic.
When the ad hoc committee makes a presentation tomorrow, is that then on its way to the board for acceptance?
You mean their...
When the ad hoc committee makes their presentation.
I think so, he can tell you, he's the chair.
Or Michelle. Okay. Oh, that's right, you are, yeah. Sorry.
Two things. One, the meeting tomorrow night is a public meeting to obtain comments from the public on the revised draft that we put up on the web. So it should be pretty clean. The last one, you know, had some edits and so forth. But anyways, the tomorrow night is the time in which we take public comment, and we hope to approve the report by the committee. And then October 1st, we will be submitting the report to the board at a public meeting. It's a Saturday morning meeting, 10 o'clock here. And so that's the sequence of events.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I wanted your subcommittee to know is when Nina and I were asking them questions last week, it is not and never has been our intention to try to blindside your subcommittee or your committee. So I told them we were going to be asking exactly the same questions tomorrow night that we were asking them last week, so that they had plenty of advance notice, that I don't think it's really fair to ask people questions they're not prepared to answer, so they know exactly what we're going to be asking them tomorrow night, and we will in fact be there with our attorney.
Well, that's that, and that's why I encourage you all to get together to meet ahead of time, and I very much appreciate of you all doing that, so I'm glad that worked out. And I mean, ideally, be nice to continue the conversation.
I'd like to, yeah. I don't know. Will there be any changes made after tomorrow night? Are you open to...
Yeah, well, that's the reason to hold a public forum for public comments and do whatever changes you know, are appropriate that the committee agrees to, if you will, and then finalize it subsequently for submittal to the board. So we're trying to meet the schedule of the board.
Right.
With ample time before the election, because this also will be an issue, I'm sure, the candidates
probably
will be discussing before the election. So. Okay. But beyond that, I mean, it would be nice to continue the conversation between the two boards. You know, you created a subcommittee of board members. And
right.
It might be useful to continue that process.
But your job is done.
Thank
you. No, I mean, it was a statement question, but it seems to me once you've submitted it, you know, the committee's
big
work
sigh
is
of relief.
Done.
Okay.
Well, that's
up to the board what they're going to do.
Whether they want to dissolve us, so to speak. But yes, our job is done.
Okay.
If you get elected, it's not.
Well, that's a whole different story. I'm not yet electioneering by any means.
I guess the author is anonymous here, but I wanted to compliment whoever wrote it. It's beautiful writing, very thoughtful, just very well laid out. Didn't agree with parts of it, but it was well stated, well expressed. As I said, you know, Jen and I had some, not sure how to say that, disagreement may be the word. We would have liked to have seen more things in this pro, things a little more fleshed out so that it could have been a more substantial discussion. But, you know, that's her option, obviously, yours to...
I mean, your point's well taken, because mm-hmm. that was an issue at the previous meeting, September 1st mm-hmm. meeting, where the point was made about more concrete examples in the pro section.
Well, and I would even argue appropriate. I mean, may I give you an example
sure.
of one? She's listed HR, cost savings on HR. Well, all of our HR, so to speak, costs are in the contract. There's nothing over and above that. And the HR costs of the community services district are paid for themselves because they're directly responsible for police services or any of their employee issues. And so those are things that will not go away. And that was an example of some of the things that we were trying to discuss, that maybe if that particular bullet, and there were some other bullets in there where we were trying to say, you know, the facts don't support some of this. My view is it's easier to get it changed at your level than to start one of those public debates where sometimes the language is lost, maybe, in the enthusiasm of the groups.
It's easier to draft in a small group than a big one.
Yeah, and I would have liked, you know, we invited just as soon as we could. I'm aware that there was this invitation for us to join. You probably know that Rochelle's commenting, that my board asked me to speak to the Community Services District when we first, frankly, we just saw it on your agenda, their agenda. That they were even entertaining the idea of this ad hoc committee, and they said, would you go tomorrow night and speak to them? I did, and I said, and Rochelle, remember that, I said, my board has asked me to express their surprise that we were not invited to the table because this is something that directly involves our board. And they nodded, everybody was polite, many people spoke to me later, but the invitation never came from the board. My view, personally, is that that's where it should be. And while I think it's great that, I think Rick was saying that he invited us, and he did come in here and say you're invited, that isn't quite the same in this sort of formal process to have us directly involved. And so at this point, Janice and I just decided that our first strategy would be, or first attempt to try to make some inroads here was for us to sit down with the subcommittee. It's probably too late in the game, although I'm hoping it's not. I would have hoped we could have had a more substantive-type meeting. It was substantive, but there's real detail that we could go into, like the HR example. And I don't know how much time there is for that, or room, or even if you're open to that kind of thing.
I'm open to it, and that's the whole reason.
How would you see that taking place, though, so that we could really give you...
Well, you're going to bring comment... I think we'll reiterate them tomorrow night.
Yeah, we will, and we'll talk about them.
Recognizing that it's only been with the three subcommittee members,
yes.
It will be useful to have the whole committee to hear those comments as well.
Yes.
So, and then let the committee as a whole can decide whether changes should be made relative to the points you make, and that's the intent for tomorrow night's mm-hmm. meeting.
You know, I'd also like to raise one issue. You also have a contracting subcommittee, contracting out for services.
Right.
There are five members on this board who have up to 20 years of experience contracting for governmental services, and they've never expressed any interest in talking to us, which I find amazing that we're the only people in the community who have any experience contracting for government services, and they had zero interest in what our experience was.
That's a fair point.
So, I mean, you know, our focus is on the consolidation merger, but I'm amazed that the contracting people never found us.
Well, I don't want to speak.
No thoughts on that?
Yeah.
No, your point's well taken. I mean, they try to do their best. and focusing on...
Well, and we're all volunteers, yeah.
Right,
and
yeah.
And focusing on contracting for police services, that's the direction they went, you know, in trying to interview various agencies such as the sheriff, El Cerrito, Albany, UC Berkeley,
right.
to begin with. So it was mostly focused on those that provided police
services. Yes, the providers rather than districts that
rather
that
than the recipients
out,
of the service.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So I will say that they did talk to some of the recipients as well, principally recipients of the sheriff's.
Yes, I saw that in there. Right. Mm-hmm. Some liked it, some didn't.
Oakland,
right.
Oakley will just actually change over to the local police force. So yeah, that's what the focus was.
Maybe it's like the Supreme Court problem we have in Washington, but it seems a little strange that you would vote a few days before the election and tie the incoming board. There's going to be some changes to something, a board that's gone and done and gone.
The new board just changes it.
Are they tied? Yeah, I don't know that anybody's tied to anything.
Speak to that, and Michelle maybe can interject as well. The framework we were given had a schedule associated with
it,
but the board was very anxious to get the report done earlier than that November 15th time schedule. So we felt compelled to try to meet their desires, and that's why we were moving quicker. So it's really following their direction to try to move it as quickly as possible, get it done before the November date that they had in the original framework. So.
And there will be no, to speak to that, there will be no, we'll be accepting the, is my understanding, we'll be accepting or, you know,
Not voting on its merits or whatever.
I think it's an informational meeting only, and there will be no action. And as Janice implied, no, it's against state law. No board can make a decision that ties a future board.
Right, right.
So any decisions made on any, almost anything,
can be undone by the new board.
With the exception of an MOU, essentially, you know, that are made between now and election can be done by.
Yeah, the idea was, as the framework describes it, was just provide findings. And it was, at least my understanding was that, but the intent that the board would vote on accepting it or not, it would be delivered, and the board would take it.
Under advisement, There's a lot to digest in there, certainly.
Yeah, so. Well, I appreciate your comments about the writing of it.
Did you write it?
No, I only wrote the introduction. So
I didn't know who. It was a blind comment. I was very impressed.
Right. Yep. And I will also have to give credit to an editor that we used, who did a wonderful job and make it sound like one person wrote it.
Language is important, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But thank you again for your comment.
Yeah. Okay. Is that?
I'm done, unless somebody has any more questions.
No more comments.
I'm not going into very much substance. As I said, it was too informal for that. We didn't really have any resolution.
So the last item is the Diablo Fire Safe Council, and I don't know that we have any particular comments on that.
Captain Crenshaw and I have been attending those meetings on a regular basis, the last two meetings have been just approval of new grants to and the Diablo Fire Safe Council runs all the way from basically the San Joaquin River down to Fremont in that area. So
Alameda and Contra Costa counties is what it
encompasses. All of Alameda, all of Contra Costa. It's a large area, but there's a lot of grants going on, and there's been Kensington has been very successful in getting the lion's share of the grants. So there's I think because of the Diablo Fire Safe Council, I think we're a lot better prepared for against wildfire. Mm-hmm. I mean, the two significant things that have happened since I've been on the board is the water improvement, so that if there is a fire up there, we'll be able to get some water on it. And the fuel reduction that's been going on for years and years, but that has been very successful. And these grants that are not mandated by law, but they're giving people money to get rid of fire hazards that aren't against the law, but are much better. We're much better off without them. The juniper bushes, yep. For example. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think there hasn't been any earth-shattering news from the Diablo Fire Safe Council, but it continues to dole out the money and it continues to get fire hazards removed. It's doing a great job.
Let's ask Katie if she has anything. Yeah, Katie, you go to all the Diablo. You're active with the Diablo Fire Safe. Do you have anything to add to that?
They're wonderful.
Yeah, they are fabulous, and we appreciate your efforts with them.
They've really done so much in Kensington. It's amazing.
It's tremendous. Yeah, Sunil's starting to cut in on our action, I think. That Kim Johnson's awfully good.
Okay, we've come to the end. Meeting's adjourned.
Excellent.
Thanks.
Good meeting.
It's a nurses of Longanitas next door.
Is anybody going to the conference? You are. You're going to the conference.
I am, yeah.
Okay, nobody
else. Which one is that?
San Diego Special District Association Convention.
I've been out of Hawaii.
Oh, no, it's San Diego.
We're having a little year.
Do I saw you went to the Leadership Academy, right?
Yeah, I was going to show up at the Pfizer for our meeting.